and that is only just an opportunity on the other, is it not? So, but this is one thing that you will gain from that family relationship. You will understand that you have relationship with others, with the husband, with the wife, or the children. All this is different objects of love. And that loving relationship, if one understands that, should be directed toward Krishna. When he is able to do that, then he has saved himself from this hell. He is out of it. Otherwise, he continues going through the same cycle, come back again with another body and go through that process.
The same exactly what you say. I heard from Prabhupada lectures last week.
Mm. Yeah, Prabhupada often mentioned this point, that there is no love in this material world, Prabhupada said. There is no love, that's not real love. But it is an opportunity to learn how to love others. First we have to learn love people in this world. There's no chance loving somebody whom we don't even know. So Prabhupada said that there's no material world. Love is between Raha and Krishna. Krishna, Prabhupada says in many lectures that thing. And when he said that, it meant really that that loving relationship between Raha and Krishna is pure. And a living entity also, at some point, when he has understood that process of love, how to love another person, which he has learned from his social life, he can convert that in towards Krishna, direct that towards Krishna. And at that time, he has to detach himself from all the other objects of love. All this is easy to speak, but it's very difficult to translate also into life, practical life. Separation of a devotee, that is not on a pure material platform. It's not on a material platform. That relationship is spiritual. In the sense that when Tribhuvananath has left us, the feeling for Tribhuvananath from devotees is because Tribhuvananath was a devotee. In ideal sense, he was a devotee. And because he took Srila Prabhupada's instructions so seriously, and he lived a life based on those principles, everyone felt attracted to him. What attracts a person to another person, or what makes one person to love another person, it is only thing that comes from that is that good qualities of that person. That's what attracts him. Yeah. So similarly, Tribhuvananath's attraction for Tribhuvananath was basically coming from this point, that Tribhuvananath was able to progress spiritually by Prabhupada's mercy and by his sincere commitment to Prabhupada, that he was able to distribute the same knowledge what Prabhupada gave it to his devotees, that he was able to inspire so many other devotees in the same way and brought them into Krishna consciousness. So when those devotees who have came to Krishna consciousness through Tribhuvananath, they also feel that separation automatically, exactly like Prabhupada's devotees felt when Prabhupada left this world. It is not a natural process. Why does one feel so obliged to the spiritual master more than one's own parents? Why is that? The reason for that is that ordinary parents are only giving a shelter in this world for some time. That's all they can offer. But spiritual master takes us beyond than that and takes us to such a life in this world. Even after leaving this world, one feels that he is protected. So it is not unusual that a spiritual relationship also is nothing but love. That you feel a loving relationship with that person when he leaves this world. And it is the same loving relationship that permeates throughout the spiritual relationships between other devotees. But although all these things do exist, ultimately we have to learn to love Krishna. Because Krishna is ultimate goal. And goal is Krishna. And Krishna, if we have not learned how to love Krishna, at the time of death, all other things will fall apart. Everything else will not work. This loving relationship teaches only one thing, how to develop love towards others. And through them we should see Krishna's presence in those living entities who have been so dear to Krishna, and through them, because they give us, instruct us that loving Krishna is our main business, like Trivandrum spoke many instances. So this is the only thing we can take from them, that's their instruction to us. Yeah. Make sense now?
Yes, it does make sense. Sometimes those who have a loving relationship with devotees or with a family member or something, you're not quite sure whether it's because of their Krishna consciousness or because of their attachment as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do you...
Yeah, that will only come by maturity in spiritual life. You will understand that every relationship in this temple also is not spiritual. Let's not mistakenly think that all our relationships are all spiritual. It's not always necessarily spiritual. Some of the relationships in this world are also very much selfish, based on selfish motives, some relationships build up. And that also happens. But spiritual relationship is that one, like when one takes instruction from somebody, like devotees, like Trivandrum, when he preached or he spoke to some devotees to take to Krishna consciousness, he lived that by his own example. And because he was doing that, nobody could doubt about his way of life. Everybody accepted Trivandrum as a devotee, and his instructions were taken seriously. So similarly, if you feel inspired by spiritually from somebody, automatically it's natural that one person feels encouraged by somebody else in spiritual life. And in Krishna consciousness, then automatically you feel indebted to that person. That's a debt you cannot repay any time. That's always there. And that relationship is perfect, is ideal. But sometimes, just for socializing purposes, we have so many friends in this world who will come and waste your time. And still you could be wearing sari or dhoti and tilak, and you are all your friends each other. That doesn't help very much in spiritual life. Just because I met a devotee and I am socializing with him, that is not spiritual relationship. Spiritual relationship is actually when one other person gets inspired in spiritual life from another person's spiritual life. That is spiritual relationship. That one, somebody takes way out of Maya and encourages you in Krishna consciousness, that spiritual life is, that relationship is rewarding, or it is worthwhile. So we have to learn how to make that, differentiate between these type of relationships in this world. We get all types of relationships in this world. We relate with people on different levels. In the office we relate with colleagues in one way. In the at home we relate with neighbors in a different way. When you come to temple you relate with devotees in one way. So with all different types of people we meet, we come across, people especially householders who are staying outside, they have to relate with all types of people. But we have to know what these relationships ultimately means to us. Spiritually, which is rewarding, that we have to take out of the context and see ourselves. And it is those relationships that will only help us in our spiritual path. All other relationships will come and go, and will not have much of a significance.
So if we're really serious, we have to just have a relationship with people that actually inspires
them. Exactly, yeah, exactly. That's what actually helps in spiritual life. Somebody like Trivandrum, he was an inspiration for so many people spiritually. Therefore everybody loved him. And everybody saw in him certain qualities of a devotee to a higher degree. And that is why everybody was listening to him, was inspired by this particular quality. So otherwise there are so many devotees in this world, but everybody is not listened to. So this comes from that when he was able to inspire others and bring them to Krishna consciousness. And by his own living, by his own life in that way, he gave opportunity to people, and by a very simple way he inspired them to chant the holy name, and he brought them to Krishna consciousness. And once they come to Krishna consciousness, they started realizing the beauty of Krishna consciousness, and they were feeling that why we have missed this all these years in life. So they feel indebted or obliged to him, to Trivandrum, for doing that. And on the other hand, he has taken so much pain and he gone through so much difficulty to preach to them. In their situation, he had to go to their level to talk to them, which was very difficult for many people. But he was able to do that, and he was able to bring them to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, they feel that will be always there in their mind, that will never go away. One living spark has come, Krishna servant came and preached Krishna's message, left this world.
Is think you pointed out there's the difference when you said selfish love and giving, and spiritual love is just total giving, just wanting to give the whole time.
Exactly. In spiritual life, there is no, nothing is expected in return.
No.
The only thing what you are doing is offering to that person an opportunity to come to Krishna. So he knows that the great personalities knows that in this material world, what is actually causing the distress is separation from Krishna. So they want to bring the living entity back to Krishna consciousness. So they only endeavor in that direction. There is no other effort made. And that's why there is no selfishness in that. The only in the desire is to give Krishna consciousness to people. That's the goal of their preaching effort. And that's what makes it different.
I
think we have to stop here. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you, John.
I've come to lunch for 3 weeks. This is my last week now.
What are you doing here?
I've come on behalf of my company on a project for software.
Software.
I'll be leaving to US this weekend, next week.
Yeah.
I've been very blessed to hear your discourse.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for coming.
Some intercession for preaching. So I told, please come to the class.
Do you go to Bangalore temple?
We have an alternate temple now, as you must be aware.
Have you?
It's very close to the original temple. It's a Jagannath temple.
Oh, you have an alternate temple?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I didn't know that.
There's some problem
so
with the main temple.
So what is Madhu Pandit doing? What's he doing? So they are completely broken from Ishkana?
Not really. See, they are really doing good work. Must be appreciated. I cannot deny that. But only thing is they're still holding on very steadfast to their. But there has been considerable improvement because His Holiness Bhakti Swami Damodar Goswami Maharaj had come. He had talks with him. And there are court cases also going on simultaneously. That's also going on. But there is also some kind of. So it's good.
Next we will have a class.
I want to know how do you memorize so many shlokas?
Just read.
Is it like you do it on a daily basis?
I read Karnavaram often. It's a nice, apart from the bhakti side of it, it has also got a lot of poetry in there.
Right.
You know, the verses are so
pleasant. You seem to know Sanskrit.
I studied at school.
Right.
And when you read them, it's much easier to understand directly in the language.
Yeah.
And Vilumangalam family, they lived near Shornur Junction, between Shornur and that's where between Shornur and Kochi. That's where they come from. And there was a railway station called Tavanur.
Tavanur. Yeah,
that's where this family had their home. Vilumangalam had their home. Yeah, that's where all this thing, Karnavaram was composed there.
From there, always calls Vilumangalam that was. But one thing is missing.
Actually, the way it is done in Chinese Vidyananda is a little different than the way we know about Madras University.
Mm-hmm.
There is a Sanskrit professor called Kunjuni Raja, Dr. Kunjuni Raja. He is a professor of Sanskrit in Madras University.
Mm-hmm.
He has done a research on Vilumangalam and he has published a book about it, very, very authoritative book. On that he explains all these things, all different, because Vilumangalam lived many, many years ago, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, even before Shankaracharya, much before than that. That's why he dates back much before. So therefore, whatever he wrote, we have only this book available, information.
But neither of them
have been written.
The first canto out of that.
Adi Keshava.
This is a Vaishnava temple.
Yeah.
Adi Krishna.
Where is Kanyakumari?
Krishna Karamrasa he got from there.
Yeah.
He got Brahma Samhita from there, isn't he?
Krishna Karamrasa.
Krishna Karamrasa, he acquired a copy, it says. Where, I don't know. It's from the there are three cantos in Krishna Karamrasa. It's only the first canto what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took with him.
Okay.
The other two cantos are not there.
But the
book is available,
But not much difference this makes. Even a man, as I told, who has touched a woman, even
it's not it's, a big
there's some kind of deviation.
There will be always there in the story.
But the team is
what saying. I said was based on this research report of Kunchini Raja's, he is a Sanskrit professor in Madras University, and his authority to you have to accept that.
It's okay. Oh, I want to ask one more thing. It said that sometime later, even after this incident, Bilwamangal Thakur still feels some attachment, some kind of lust. And at that time, he takes away his eyes.
Yeah.
Is that true?
That's not true, because that is Suryadas. People have got mixed up with Suryadas and Bilwamangalam. Bilwamangalam is different than Suryadas.
Bilwamangalam is not blind?
Bilwamangalam is not blind.
He's not blind?
No.
Oh.
Suryadas was blind.
Gokara.
Yeah, there's all so much confusion about
Gokara
him.
Gokara
yeah.
says like that?
This Bilwamangalam family
this happens traditionally.
Goes back into a long history. There were Bilwamangalam 1, 2 and 3. There were three Bilwamangalams in that family. First Bilwamangalam came out, went to Vrindavanam, and then from there went to Dwaraka and built the Dwarakadish temple there. That's one Bilwamangalam. The other Bilwamangalam became a great sannyasi, and he was a well-known acharya. He lived in Thiruvananthapuram later on. Like that, there are two or three, three members in their family who are all Bilwamangalam, live from Bilwamangalam, so different from but this somehow this other day I saw Vipramukha Swami also saying in the class the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say anything because
yeah, it's not very comfortable. Actually bro, I wanted to tell you that in the south, in Bangalore, somebody was telling me about Krishna Karanamrita and his tradition Sri Vaishnava. I told him that it's written by Bilwamangal Thakur. He said no, it's written by Leela Shuka. I had not heard of Leela Shuka till then.
Leela Shuka is Bilwamangalam's another name.
Right.
Because
I
of
wanted to confirm this
time. He was given that name. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Very, very nice.
So you are off. Okay, good.
Thank you so much.
It's okay, no problem. You're off next week then.
Yeah. Going to next week. Yes, and how many years? You have 1 year you are staying there.
Hopefully 1 year.
Yeah.
You have to stay 1 year there.
Yeah.
We are enthusiastic to preach.
Eh?
He is more enthusiastic to preach.
Good.
And he says our Indian boys are very passionate to enjoy this Western life.
True,
yeah. So I said, you preach. He said,
I don't know why, but you know, somehow I want to slow down my life. It's too hectic. The software.
Yeah.
I want to go back and, you know, once I go back, I want to just be simple.
It's
but I don't know how.
So we just same.
Do you have any advice? Can
you? You see, everything is activities of the mind. As long as the mind doesn't come under control, you will have this problem throughout life. That how to get this mind in control. When the mind, material desires and so many desires are inside, which we are not aware of completely.
Yeah.
And that's what is impelling us to act one direction or the other. Like when you become a devotee and you are engaged in Krishna service, a lot of your material desires go away. Then you don't care very much about other things in this world, isn't it? So slowly you have to keep your life in this world. Try and endeavor in that direction to get a balance of spiritual life and material life. And pray to Krishna constantly to bring you back into Krishna consciousness. Because if you don't waste too much time in this life, I don't know your own financial situation, how it is that sometimes people have to work in this world to maintain
right.
their life, isn't it? So without money you can't maintain this body. So you have to work, but how you can adjust your life, that's the main thing, you know. For chanting the holy name is not difficult in any circumstances. And if you live in spiritual life for a long time, after a number of years, you are too young now, it's too early to take to spiritual life liar, but sometimes you will feel that all this has not much of a significance. You will come to that proper understanding and then you may be able to give up easily things. But otherwise, if you give up too early in your life, you could probably, tomorrow you may think, oh, I missed out something. That should not happen.
Right.
That's why it's not recommended that you take to sannyasa ashram in the early days in life.
Yeah.
That you go through a gradual way in life, understand what is material life and see the good and bad side of it, and by then you are reasonably old in your life, material desires come to a standstill. At that right point you should give up your material life and you can take to full Krishna consciousness. Like Srila Prabhupada, he throughout his life he was doing business and doing other activities. At the same time he was staying as a devotee. He cultured Krishna consciousness, studied Srimad Bhagavatam, and always try to help reaching Krishna consciousness. So you got to get a balance. In this age, Kali, it is very difficult otherwise.
Yeah.
That overnight you become a sannyasi. The sannyasi may not last very long.
It's like at 59 he took sannyas.
Yeah.
And even then he said, oh, yeah. It was such a horrible thing.
Yeah, he did. He did. And he was 54 at that time.
Oh, 54.
He was 54 years old, but it was 1959,
1959.
He took sannyas. Yeah, he took sannyas. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But does a person, I mean, is it possible? I don't know. I'm just. Does a person really get time for reading?
Yes,
because something very, very rare. Very rare people, even in ISKCON, honestly.
You have to read, because reading is, you have to do it at some time
right.
in your day activities. After all, in 7 days' time, you have to have got a weekend.
This is what we are always telling.
Yeah.
You have to read proper yeah. attention to Bhagavad
Gita. Yes,
people quote.
Yeah, but yeah.
Weekend
very
you can read. You can read during the weekdays also. If you cut down all social activities and other things a lot, if you just have to work and save some time for studies, you will find some time you can and get up early in the morning, like Peter gets up at 1 o'clock in the morning. And he reads.
Struggle too much. It's too much.
So like that, you know.
Yeah,
he wakes up at 1 o'clock and he reads for an hour or two at time. So that's how devotees used to be like that. When I joined also, many of the brahmacharis used to wake up at about 1, half 1 in the morning and they used to read till about 3 o'clock. Jivapadi gets up at 1 o'clock and chants all his rounds. By 3 o'clock his rounds are all finished.
Oh.
Yeah. Listening?
Yeah.
What time they go to bed?
He sleeps early, I think about 9 o'clock or something.
No, actually it's about 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. And then he takes rest during the day, afternoon for an hour.
But we are working, our body becomes tired.
That's right, yeah. So all this you have to adjust somehow, you know, constantly praying to Krishna for help.
Right.
You have to do it, and then that is your in your hands, how you have to do it. How to plan life is only one can do it.
Right.
Nobody else can help you in that,
right.
Really. And sometimes with your best plans, things may not happen.
Right.
And in spiritual life also, Krishna's constant help is necessary. That when you are sincere, generally Krishna will give you some opportunity. Somehow things will turn out in such a way that you will find some time to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and understand better things. Huh? So not to get any time despondent and feel that, oh, it's not working, and not give up, that's not good. Spiritual life is determination. Like Krishna says, Bhajandeyamam Dradavrata.
Yeah.
That Dradavrata is necessary. Determination. And if you live as a strong brahmachari, you will get that strength always. That's where it comes from, that Dradavrata. The determination comes from brahmachari ashram. And if you don't allow yourself to be disturbed by the
sensual objects.
Yeah. Sense enjoyment, and if you can control your mind and senses, you will get that strength. Only sannyasis and acharyas, they have done that. That's how they controlled their mind, and they were able to. And then with the Krishna's help, you will go up.
Controlling the mind is an unseeable, very great art, isn't it? Controlling the mind, you see.
It's not easy.
Not easy, but they were saying, but
it's not
practically
easy.
To bring.
That's why it's necessary to chant always and take Krishna shelter. That's the only way you can protect yourself, not to fall into victimized by Maya.
At that time, certainly as a spiritual artist, you see that with Arjun, isn't it? It's like his attachment was Krishna, wasn't it? So he had, like, once he got all finished with his worldliness and Krishna had sort of enlightened him, he just had one thing in mind, was to fight, wasn't it? He didn't really,
yes.
It was like, think of me. And it's like, same as Srila Prabhupada, for me anyway, I just think of him. If I have a really difficult moment, it's my attachment for Srila Prabhupada that really gets me through. Somehow, you know, no matter what it is, just listening to it and reading about it, you really form an attachment.
Mm.
And I think
that's absolutely
to see you through.
Yeah, when all the difficulties come, when there is sometimes you feel so fed up with this world, you take one of Prabhupada's books and read it.
Yeah.
And it changes the whole life straight away.
Right.
So that's Prabhupada's mercy to us.
Right.
Yeah. You take it and start reading it, and then you start realizing, here is somebody telling you what you should do. Mm-hmm. So that
is... teaches so effectively.
Prabhupada was spoke the truth. So that takes us away. I think there's some program here. Isn't it? There's some program here, yeah?
Pandavas is 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock is
yeah, no, it's not 8, it's 25 past 7. Should I take prasad?
No, I'm going home now.
You do last year, so you didn't take prasad?
No, I don't think so. I'll go home now.
I don't know much about you, Prabhu.
Yeah, I'm from Kerala. I've been living here for a while now, 15, 20 years. Yeah, in the West. Different places, still working. And passing my time like this.
Working where?
I work in a company called Dresserand. They are based in Wimbledon, near Wimbledon.
That's the south side
of London. Oh. We are in the north. That's okay. In the south.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's about 27 miles by train.
Right.
So I go Monday to Friday, work there, come back. And Sunday I come here, Saturday, Sunday.
Padmanabhi is still like very near to temple.
I live outside, just outside.
So what distance? 5 minutes? Yeah. No, 3 minutes?
So that's how life goes on.
These are Krishna's animals, isn't it? It's not the accident that I have.
Yeah, I but think Krishna, when you desire to do something for Krishna, Krishna always will give you some
options. Also, I want to know these detailed descriptions that you give, you know, of Krishna having some time. You know, the bhoga was not yet offered. This does not come in the Srimad Bhagavatam originally.
Exactly, it is not mentioned. But these things have come. You know, Srimad Bhagavatam is not written. 5,000 years people have discussed the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Correct.
In the temples, big temples.
Yeah.
And in these temples, when they were discussed, there are great, great scholars who are involved in these discussions. And from the commentaries of the acharyas, like Sridharacharya Swamiji and others, they have brought this out in a form that people can easily understand that.
Right.
And that's how it's presented, like that.
Which one says?
So,
Krishna's pastime.
Krishna Karnamrita. Is it having all this mentioned?
Shaivavayam, no. In Krishna Karnamrita, few things are mentioned.
Right.
Not all.
Yeah.
Everything is not from Krishna Karnamrita. Only when I was saying that Vilamangalam is an example for this type of relationship,
yeah.
I was saying that he talked about himself. He says that I am a follower of Lord Shiva, Shaivavayam Tatra Galim Jaranayam. And he says there that that actually I was not a devotee of Krishna, he says. But he became a devotee. He himself acknowledges that by the mercy of Chindamani. Chindamani brought her to make him a devotee. Right. So those things are there. The rest of the things are not from there, from Bhagavatam.
I want to ask you one more question, since you are from Kerala. Like the entire southern region, we generally see the Vishnu temples are maintained by the traditional Sri Vaishnavas.
Yeah.
But if you look at Guruvayur, it's I think maintained by the Nambudris,
yes.
Traditional priests of Kerala.
Yes.
Who do not have any Vaishnava.
The worship there in Guruvayur is Vaishnava. That you have to understand. The temple is not managed by Vaishnavas. Nambudris are the temple worship is Vaishnava. It is Vaishnava.
Okay.
Yeah. It is not.
Are they Sri Vaishnavas?
Yeah. No, they are not Sri Vaishnavas.
Ah.
The Acharya Swamiji, Shankaracharya, established the deity worship in Guruvayur.
He didn't?
Oh yeah, he established the deity worship in Guruvayur.
Right.
It is he personally who established the deity worship in Guruvayur.
Oh.
Him and when his Shankaracharya Swamiji was traveling with Srinarada Maharshi together from to Kaladi where he was born, from Badrinath.
Uh-huh.
And they were both Ashtanga yogis, they could travel in the sky.
Right.
When they reached the Guruvayur temple, the devotees were chanting the holy name there.
Right.
And Acharya Swamiji for a second thought, oh, they are just chanting the holy name. And at that point, Krishna thought that that was not a very nice reaction from a great personality like Lord Shankaracharya,
right.
who is a jnani. He's basically a jnani, isn't it? Person in knowledge.
Yeah, yeah.
And he did not consider very high of the devotees who are chanting the holy name. And as soon as the thought happened, immediately Krishna brought him down straight there. That is why if you make circumambulate in the temple, if you come to the northwest corner, that's where he fell down from the sky.
Oh, in Guru
Shankaracharya. Yes, he fell down from the sky in the temple. He fell down there. And today, if you go there, what they have done, you will see there. They left that place open. They have constructed the whole side, all around the roof.
Uh-huh.
But they have left that portion open.
Mm-hmm.
And in Guruvayur, there is a system called Shiveli, where they take on an elephant, the deity is taken around.
Yeah.
And five times a day. and accompanied with the drums and other musical instruments.
Yeah.
When they get to this particular spot, as a mark of respect to Shankaracharya, they won't play any instrument because he fell down there, on that spot. And when he fell down there, he realized that it was because he was a jnani, he could see things, he was a great soul, that it was Krishna's desire that I should come down.
Right.
And he immediately started rolling on the ground.
Right.
And Krishna said to him at that time that he should stay in the temple for 41 days.
Right.
And he stayed 41 days in Guruvayur and he established that deity worship in Guruvayur.
So
and that is purely Vaishnava it is. The temple worship is purely Vaishnava.
So that was done again with the higher purpose you've seen.
Yes, it is actually. Acharya Swamiji has written so many books on so many topics in such a short time. And he was a devotee of Krishna. There is no question about that.
Prabhupada also says, Shankaracharya accepting Krishna as Supreme Sannyasi.
I come from a traditional Shaiva family.
Yeah. No, so Acharya Swamiji, you see, you have to remember why Acharya Swamiji's time, he wrote many, many books. And he was Lord Shiva himself. He was conceived in Trishur, in Vadakkunnatha temple. In Trishur Veru.
Yeah.
That's where he was.
Aryambha.
Yeah, Shiva Guru and Aryambha. They were Nambudri families from Kaladi. They came there. And they prayed to Lord Shiva there that perhaps you know the story, that they wanted to have a son. And this Vadakkunnatha temple, that's where Lord Shiva's very, very old temple that is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very famous temple also. If you go inside, the Shivalingam is there and tons and tons of ghee is on that. There is not even one ant inside the temple room with so much ghee lying on the floor.
Right.
And that is still a surprise to people. Yeah, and Shivaguru and Aryambha spent a lot of time there. And at that time, Lord Shiva appeared to them in the dream and asked them whether you want to have an intelligent child who will live a shorter time, or you want a child who is dull,
so
who will live a longer time. At this time, Shivaguru and Aryambha, for both of them, answered Lord Shiva, I will like to have that intelligent child. And Lord Shiva said, I will have to come down myself as your son. And that's how he came. And he took, at the age of 8, he took sannyas. Actually, the whole Vedic tradition, he completely overhauled the whole thing and brought the whole Vedic system back into life again in India. And that is why
how
all the other...
Why does disappear?
No, Buddhas and Jainas
are there. Buddhism was existing at that time all over. All the great kings were going after them. He argued and defeated all of them in philosophically because his intellectual power was so high that he was able to do that. He did that, and that's why the system what he established, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas from that system. Ramanujacharya took sannyas from that system.
Yeah.
They all followed that system only. The sannyasa tradition, everything is from Shankaracharya comes from originally. It is his system that others followed later. So acharyas differ in their concept of the truth.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. But they all come from the same Vedic tradition.
Right.
And Acharya Swamiji, he was a great devotee of Krishna. And it is there, Vishnu Bhujangam he wrote, Shiva Bhujangam and Vishnu Bhujangam. And Vishnu Bhujangam he wrote, when he when his mother was dying, she was when he left home, he was 8 years old. And he has taken sannyas and left home. And he went to Narmada, and from there he took sannyas from Govinda Bhagavad Pada. And his history, if you read, it is very exciting, and you cannot believe it. No, he has a long history behind that. I tell you, long time before I start saying that. I'll tell you another time.
Okay.
So anyway, Shankaracharya left home at 8 years, fully taken to sannyasa ashram, and with mother's permission he left home. But while leaving, the mother told him that any time, if I want, Shankaracharya gave her the benediction, you call me my name, I'll be there. And when he was writing the commentary on the Vedanta Sutra in Badrinath, that's why the mother was leaving this world. And see, she called him Shankara, Shankara, twice she called. But in two calls, he was there from Badrinath to Kaladi. He arrived in such a short time. Yeah. Because he was also a great yogi, you see. He was Lord Shiva, isn't he? He could do such things.
Yeah.
Anything he wanted, he could do it.
Yeah.
It was so powerful.
Yeah.
So when he got to his mother's place, mother was leaving the body, and when she was leaving the body, she said to Lord to Shankaracharya that I want to see my Lord. So Shankaracharya recited Shiva Bhujangam at that time, and Lord Shiva's associates all came there. When she saw them, she got frightened because Lord Shiva's associates are like that, isn't it? Buddha Ganas, Buddha Prayavishayadi, everything, yes. They all arrived there. And then Shankaracharya said, okay, I'll ask them to go back. And then he recited this famous verse known as Vishnu Bhujangam, glorifying Vishnu. It's a, if you start singing that, Vishnu Bhujangam itself is so beautiful, the meter and the verses. Full of such a fantastic, yeah, Shankaracharya said, he wrote that.
And then Bhajagovindam.
Govindam was also written later on, yeah. There's so many Govinda Ashtagam he wrote. Yeah. It is very famous. And if you read through those verses, you'll see how the sweet language it is.
Yes.
And his Sanskrit was such a, Lord Shiva is his name, so could write that. And so that's his history, his story.
But what I want to know is again, these Vaishnavas in the Gurudwara temple, they don't trace back actually to any of the four sampradayas.
No, they don't.
Right.
They
but
don't.
They are actually Vaishnavas in spirit.
Yeah, they are, yes. They are in the sense, the worship is Vaishnava there.
Yeah.
But they are Shankaracharya
followers,
Brahmanas they are. But the worship is Vaishnava there. When Shankaracharya established four mutts in different places, not only outside I'm talking about, in Kerala itself.
Oh.
In Thrissur if you go, there is Brahmasu Madam, Thekke Madam, Vatakke Madam, there's four mutts.
In Thrissur?
Oh yeah, in Thrissur itself, because that was his original place. And there, these Nambudiri Brahmanas, they lived there, Brahmacharis and Sannyasis.
Right.
And they took Sannyas either from Sringeri or from
Kanchi.
That's like that. That comes up later. So,
he's told me on. Just what is Krishna Karamana Villamangaram, when he worshipped Panchandra Panjaratra, he gave Krishna consciousness. My case, when before I come to Krishna consciousness, my father was Vaishnava and I know Raman Mahabharat. Somehow I was more attracted to Lord Shiva. And I wrote on songs about Lord Shiva, I'll go and worship him with these separate feelings, affection to him. When I see Lord Shiva's name, my has withstand the whole body within him, then it will go. In this way, but I didn't ask Shiva. I want to know about all the Vedas. I want to know the highest truth, what it is. I will go to the library, I will take the biggest class of it, I can't understand anything, I will keep it back. So, what is the purpose of the Vedas? What is the biggest truth in the Vedas? I want to know. Then he directed me to Krishna consciousness.
Krishna consciousness is the highest truth.
Yes, so exactly, I realize in my life.
Yeah.
He awards Krishna consciousness if he goes sincere.
I have to get them now.
Please, please, please. We are very sorry.
Okay.